Section 1. You will hear a telephone conversation between two people about a flat. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 6.
Hello, this is Simon Marshall. I spoke to you the other day about renting flat 3A.
Oh, yes. Hello, Simon. What can I do for you?
Well, there are a few health and safety things I'd like to run through, if that's OK.
Yes, fine.
Right. Well, the first thing, bearing in mind it's quite an old house, is whether there's any damp. I'm thinking here of the exterior walls and the floor.
Well, I've never known any problems with damp there. It was all right last time I checked, certainly, though that was before the recent wet weather. I'd better have another look and get back to you on that.
OK. Now, the next thing is the gas supply. Do you have a safety certificate? A current one, that is.
We do. All the gas appliances have been checked by a registered engineer.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. When did they actually do the inspection?
Let me think. They sent an engineer to check something early last year, but no, that wasn't the inspection. Oh, I remember now, it was in the spring. In fact, I've got the certificate here somewhere. Yes, that's it. March 22nd, so it's just over 5 months ago.
And the electricity. When was the last time all the wiring was inspected? I know it doesn't have to be checked as often as the gas, but it's still important, especially in older properties.
As it happens, we had an electrician in when we redecorated flat 3A. If he looked at everything then, he would have charged us for it. I'll find the bill and check it if you like.
Fine. And when was that?
The decorators finished just before Easter, so that would be about 18 months ago.
Just one more point on the electrics. Are there enough plug sockets in the flat?
It depends what you mean by enough, really.
Well, I've got quite a lot of electrical things. Computer, radio, lamps, kitchen appliances and so on. And I'm wondering whether I could plug them all in without having cables trailing all over the place.
I think there's one per room. That's fairly normal in older properties.
I'll take that as a no, then.
All right.
Now, another safety point. Is there a smoke alarm?
Yes, there's one in the kitchen.
And is it in good working order?
I'll have to try it out and let you know.
Right. Now, you mentioned the previous tenants. Do they, or anyone else who's lived in the flat, still have keys to the door?
We're very strict about that. Everyone has to hand back the keys when they leave or we don't return the deposit. And those in 3A have always done so.
Test 2. Listening. Section 1. Now listen and answer questions 7 to 10.
OK. Now, there are a few other practical details. Firstly, you mentioned a room where people can leave things, like suitcases and bags and things. Where exactly is that? Is it next to 3A, which I take it is on the third floor?
Well, the apartment's on the third, yes. But the storeroom's a little way away, just past the second door to the right. Under the stairs, in fact.
But it's on the same floor, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Fine. Now, another thing I wanted to check is that there's hot water in the apartment.
Oh, yes. It runs off the central heating. That was installed back in the 70s, I think, so there's a permanent supply.
But is it really hot? Not just warm or lukewarm?
I suppose it depends what you mean by hot. But it's at a constant 60 degrees.
Oh, that sounds fine.
Yes, it used to be set at 55, but last year the tenants asked us to increase it, so we did.
Oh, I'm glad about that. OK, now can you tell me a bit about the yard and the garden? How big are they?
Well, the yard at the side of the house is about 20 square metres.
Oh, so there's room for my motorbike then? Actually, it's only a 50cc moped, but I like to keep it off the road at night.
Yes, there's more than enough space there, even with all the wheelie bins.
And the garden?
That's much bigger, about 150 square metres.
Uh-huh. Who looks after it, by the way?
Old Mr Collins. He's almost 90, but he's out there every day.
Uh-huh. And the last point, the TV. What size screen is it?
It's 70 centimetres wide, I think. No, sorry, that was the old one. This one's 80. You can get 90-odd channels on it, so I'm told.
Really? So there's a satellite dish on the roof, is there?
No, it's cable TV here. It doesn't cost much between everyone, though.
Ah, that's very interesting. OK, thanks for your help. I'll be in touch again soon.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.
That is the end of section one.
Now turn to section two. Section 2. You are going to hear a guide named Matt, who is introducing their trip in Wildlife Haven. Now you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen to the first part of the introduction carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Matt, and I'm one of the three guides here at Wildlife Haven. Our job is to make sure that you all have a great time here with us and go home feeling happy and relaxed. As you can see, we're away from the city in a remote area between a national park and the sea. To encourage you to relax, there are no radios or TVs, and the only phones and newspapers are in the office. So, if peace and quiet is what you've come for, this is the place to be. From your cabin on the hill, you'll find you have the national park behind you, and you can look out from the sea from your front balcony. Your luggage will be unloaded from the bus and taken to your rooms in a few minutes. Once you have picked up your key at reception, please locate your room and check that all your luggage has arrived. The daily program here at Wildlife Haven is flexible and only as demanding as you want it to be. You should each have a brochure setting out the facilities and various walking tracks you can take. And on the bus, you are given a green sheet setting out a number of group tours in the coming week. If you want to join any tour, just write your name and room number on the relevant sheet along the wall here. Tomorrow, there is a beachcombers and rockhoppers tour exploring marine life in the rock pools along the beach. Or, if you'd prefer to go inland, there's a guided forest walk that takes you off the walking tracks. If you want to catch some lunch, you could join the beach fishing expedition. And at night, you'll see there is a moonlight forest walk that leaves each night at 7 p.m. So there is plenty to choose from at Wildlife Haven, and of course, that includes just sitting on your balcony watching the waves roll in. But I would recommend my favorite tour, the Waterfall Walk. This departs at sundown each day and also provides the opportunity to have a moonlight swim.
Now you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. In the second part of the introduction, you are going to get some advice from Matt. Listen carefully and answer questions 16 to 20.
You've chosen to visit us in January which is one of our hotter months, and although you may be tempted to wear a minimum of clothing, you should always take precautions against injury, particularly in the national park. This includes sensible footwear. You'd be surprised how many of our guests ignore this advice and end up being sorry. And socks are a good idea, too. And even though you might be under trees a lot of the time, it's a good idea to wear a hat in this hot climate. There's no need to be too concerned about walking in the national park, provided you use common sense. It's true that there are poisonous spiders in the park, but they are really more frightened of you than you are likely to be of them. I should also warn you against eating any wild berries. Some are edible, but you should avoid them all. We'll provide all the food you can eat. Well, that's about all for now. Dinner is from 6 to 8 p.m. in this building.
This is the end of Section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turn to Section 3. Section 3. You will hear two friends discussing a course they have just done. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 27. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 27.
Oh, Ben, I just remembered I never filled in that form for Nick.
Ah.
Did you do it?
The course feedback form.
Yes. If you want, we can do it together. I've got mine here.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a look then. What do we have to do?
Let's fill in the top first. Let's see. Course code.
It's communication in business.
Okay. Communication in business. I do know that, but what's the code?
CB16 something. CB162, isn't it?
That's it. Okay. And dates. When did we start? I remember my birthday's on May 4th, and it was the day after. It must have been May 5th.
Gosh, doesn't seem that long ago, does it?
No. And we finish at the end of this week on Friday, so that's July 15th.
16th. Oh. Monday was the 12th.
Yeah.
Right, that was the easy bit. Now, let's have a look. Mm. Please give your comments on the following aspects of the course. Okay, what's the first one? Oh, course organization.
Mm.
What do you think?
Clear. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the organization was clear.
Hmm.
Okay, anything else for course organization?
It was a good thing he gave us the course outline at the beginning in the first session. That was useful, so I'll put that down, shall I?
Yeah.
Now, going on to suggestions for improvement, one thing that wasn't so good, I think we could have done a bit more work at the beginning. I mean, at the beginning, it seemed dead easy.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be really easy, and then all of a sudden in the second half of the course, we got a whole load of work,
yeah.
Reading to do and essays and things.
Yeah, it'd be better if it was more even.
Mm.
Okay, now, course delivery. Does that mean teaching?
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, what I thought was really good on this course was the standard of teaching. Actually, I mean, some of the teachers were better than others,
yeah.
But the standard generally was fine. Much better than other courses I've been on.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. Let's put that then.
Okay.
What about suggestions for improvement?
I didn't think it was all that wonderful when we had great long group discussion sessions that went on for hours and hours.
Right.
I don't mean we shouldn't have group discussions, just that they shouldn't go on too long.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 28 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 28 to 30.
Now, on to materials and equipment.
Oh, now, what was good about some sessions was the handouts.
Yes, I thought all the handouts were good, actually, and some were great, with website addresses and everything.
Mm. One problem, though, with materials was the key texts.
Yes, there just weren't enough copies on reserve in the library. And if you can't get the key texts before the session, how are you supposed to do the reading?
Yeah.
And not enough computers. You have to wait ages to get one.
Okay, testing and evaluation. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say until we've got our written assignments back.
Oh, don't talk about it. I only got mine in yesterday. It was a real struggle. Oh, I hate to think what mark I'll get.
Yeah, but at least we've done the oral presentation.
Hmm.
I thought that was good, the way I got my feedback really quickly.
Yes, it was. And I liked the way we knew what we'd be evaluated on. We knew the criteria, so we knew we had to think about clarity, organization, and so on.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure about the written work.
Mm.
One thing, I think, is that there's just too much. It's really stressful.
Oh, yes, I'd agree. And I don't see why they can't let us know the criteria they use for marking.
The written assignments, but he told us.
No, for the final exams.
Oh.
What are they looking for? What are the criteria? What makes a pass or a fail?
Yeah, I never thought of that. It'd be really useful.
Mm. Okay, any other comments?
I thought student support was excellent.
Yeah, me too. Okay, excellent. Other comments?
No, I can't think of anything else.
Mm, nor me. Okay. So that's done. Thanks, Ben.
No, thank you.
That is the end of section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turn to section 4. Section 4. You will hear a talk about waste and waste treatment. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 34. Now listen to the first part of the talk and answer questions 31 to 34.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today I'll be talking about the issue of waste, which has become an immense problem in today's society. We face huge challenges in terms of reducing its creation in the first place, and then in dealing with it when it has been created. Now, the model of nature would be our ideal, a completely cyclical system in which no excess waste is generated that can't be processed by itself. However, we humans have proved, despite our apparent intelligence and ingenuity, quite incapable of achieving this. Where did it all go wrong? We have evidence that in ancient Greece and Rome, governments operated municipal waste collection, and a huge Stone Age mound was identified some years ago in Norway as waste disposal. So we can see that people have been generating waste for a very long time indeed. However, during the Dark Ages, sophisticated municipal waste processing disappeared. The medieval answer to waste was to throw it out of the window. But this waste, apart from broken pottery and a few metal objects, was largely organic. This meant, of course, that it was quickly absorbed into the environment by the natural processes of decay. However, many concerned people, such as doctors, claim that this created health problems, although it wasn't until science produced convincing evidence of the connection between rubbish and disease that governments began to see the importance of dealing with the problem effectively. Unfortunately, their response has remained slower than the generation of waste. It is very hard to deal with waste that won't melt into the environment, as so many of our modern consumer goods won't. And that's why the invention of plastic has caused the worst headache for the environment. It's more than nature can deal with.
Now you have some time to look at questions 35 to 37. Now listen to the next part of the talk and answer questions 35 to 37.
In order to address the root of the problem of waste, we need to think about what has made the quantity of waste accelerate in growth. I'd identify three main reasons. As many countries became industrialized, we saw the advent of mass manufacturing. This has been enormously damaging, as it has greatly increased the amount of things on the planet's surface which don't go away by themselves. Closely related to this is packaging, necessary for transporting things around the world, but then extremely difficult to get rid of properly. And a third aspect to the problem has been disposable goods. We have become accustomed to so many things being to use and then discard that we find it hard to imagine life without them. And yet we spare little thought for where they go when we do discard them.
Now you have some time to look at questions 38 to 40. Now listen to the rest of the talk and answer questions 38 to 40.
Right now, let's move on from where all this waste comes from to what is done with it all now it's here. Different countries deal with waste differently. Of course, each country also changes what it does, so the figures for waste treatment I've got here are likely to change in the future. Let's look at municipal solid waste, or MSW. MSW is important to consider because it's effectively a measurement of consumerism, how much waste people produce that goes beyond the absolute basic requirements in life to eat and drink. One of the main ways of dealing with MSW is incineration, burning it. This is adopted variously around the world. The UK burns relatively little waste, as does the US, while Denmark burns about half of all waste. And Japan uses this method for as much as three quarters. These are broad brushstrokes, of course, because an important issue is how efficient and clean the burning process is. Another major form of waste treatment is using landfill sites, basically burying the waste in the earth. Currently, this method is the dominant process used in the UK at over 80%, and is also heavily used in Germany and in the US, while densely populated and mountainous countries, such as Switzerland and Japan, dispose of relatively little this way. A third and much better way of dealing with waste is to recycle it, turning it back into more things we need. It must be said that much depends here on whether further waste is generated by the recycling processes themselves. The UK and Japan have rather poor records in recycling, while Switzerland tops the table in this respect. And reasonably impressive levels are achieved by Denmark and Germany. I really hope that if we all gathered here again 10 years from now, these figures would be much higher. Time and a lot of effort will tell.
That is the end of Section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.